he was saved on the road to Damascus, persecuted the church of Christ, would come in here and arrest us all and take us away and persecute us because we trust in Christ and we worship Christ. But yet he was saved and delivered because he believed on him. Oh, the wonder of that. The marvel of that. And dear believer, never stop marveling at God's grace. Never stop thanking the Lord for his grace and his mercy and his love in saving you and redeeming you.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church. I'm Pastor Andrew Fitton, and I'm delighted to welcome you to our program today as we seek to preach the fullness of Christ to sinners in all their need. You've been listening to None But Christ Can Satisfy. We welcome you to our program today, and we thank you for joining with us as we consider the Word of God. John's Gospel chapter 3 in the verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." This verse has often been called the Gospel in a nutshell, the Gospel nugget. It is a summary of the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a verse that emphasizes the love of God to sinners through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, are you trusting in him? Let's go to our pulpit and consider the first part of our message, the greatness of God's love.
John's Gospel, chapter 3, and I want to draw your attention to the verse 16. It's good to have our Bibles open. It's good to read this text, though I think if we closed our Bibles, you would know what text I'm talking about, and many, if not all, would be able to quote this text because it is well known and it is familiar. We believe it's good to have our Bibles open and to see the verses that we turn to, verses that we read, and here we have this familiar text, John 3, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen, and may the Lord bless and the reading of his word. This evening we come to one of the most famous and familiar verses in all of Scripture. A text that is often used to present the gospel or the good news of salvation to sinners. It is a text that many preachers have preached on. A text that many new preachers have preached on. The very first time I preached, many, many years ago, and I'm not talking 5 or 10 years, I'm talking 23 years, when I preached at a care home many years ago. And it was this text that I took, my very first sermon, and I took a familiar text. A text that, well, if I failed to fully preach that text and to expound that text and to explain that text, well, it's a simple text that by God's grace can explain itself, despite my failing attempts. It is a great text, a text that often we use when we speak to individuals. And as we evangelize on a personal level, that text comes to us and we use it to present the gospel of Christ. It is a verse that Martin Lloyd-Jones said is packed with fundamental and vital Christian doctrine. A text that Luther referred to as the gospel in miniature, that has been called the gospel in a nutshell, summarized for us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We need to remember the context of this particular verse. We find that Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, had wrong notions about the Messiah. He came to Jesus by night, and the Savior impressed upon him the importance of understanding the new birth. Not a physical new birth, but a spiritual new birth, of coming and trusting in him, of receiving that new life and that regeneration by the Spirit of God. And here the Savior continues to explain how that is possible, how we can receive that new life, how the sinner can come and partake of that new life that is offered to them in the gospel. And it is all because of Christ. And in this verse we see as well, it is all because of God and God's love. And the gospel of Christ is a God-centered gospel. It exists because of God. It exists because God so loved the world. It exists because of the grace and the mercy of God towards those who were dead in their trespasses and in their sins. And this verse is a continuation of what we have before. The word "for" is used. For God so loved the world. And that continues the same way, verse 14. And as Moses, the Savior is continuing the thought here. Though there is a new paragraph, as we see the markings in the scripture. But we see these words connecting the thoughts together. This is not a new thought entirely. This is something that is building upon the old thought, that is coming based upon it as its foundation and explaining more of the truth of God. And so verse 14, we see Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness, and the same must happen to Christ, that whosoever believeth in him, who looks to him in faith, like those who looked at the brazen serpent, should not perish but have eternal life. Moving on to the next thought that is building upon that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so there is a building of thoughts here. And the Savior is drawing our attention to this great and marvelous, wonderful summary of the gospel of Christ. Samuel Davies, the American preacher, prefaced his remarks on this text by saying, I always enjoy reading Samuel Davies. I only have one copy of his works and have tried over the years to get more. I've never seen them anywhere. I saw one copy of volume one and I bought it, and hoping at some stage to get more, but never did. But his works are blessed works. He was a great preacher. And he prefaced his remarks on this text by saying, I have been thinking in what way my life, redeemed from the grave, may be of most service to my dear people. Talking to his congregation, talking to the saints of God that comprise those who came to hear him preach. How marvelous that is, or how touching that is. He was thinking, how can he in his life, a sinner saved by grace, how can he be of most service to his people? And he went on to say about preaching salvation. That's the greatest use. Preaching the gospel. And his text, he said, John 3 verse 16, furnishes him with the proper materials for that purpose. Everything he needs to present that gospel that he wants to bring to his dear people, it's here. Dear congregation tonight, everything we need to understand about the gospel, that great summary of the gospel, is here in this text. And whether you're unsaved tonight, whether you are in your sins tonight, whether you're old or young and need Christ, this text has everything that you need to consider to point you to the Lamb of God who can save you. If you're a believer tonight and desirous to serve the Lord and understand his gospel and witness for him, this text contains what you need to understand more of the gospel and to understand how to present the gospel and preach, as it were, the gospel of Christ to others. And we see here then this text that is surrounded in the love of God. If you look at sermon outlines on John 3:16, I didn't for this sermon, but I've looked for them in the past many years ago and considered what other men had said. You'll see that many of those outlines are about love. Many of the comments that commentators make and preachers make, it's about love. And that is true, because this is a verse about love. It brings home to our hearts the love of God for this world, the love of God for his people in sending Christ to be their Savior. For God so loved the world. If God did not love the world, if God did not love and show mercy and grace as a result of that love, where would we be? If we took a black pen and we looked at this verse and we said, well, God is not love, God is not gracious. God is not merciful. And we removed, for God so loved the world. Will we not have to keep going and remove the entire verse and therefore remove the entire gospel? Because the gospel is built upon the love and mercy and grace of God towards sinners. We don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve God's mercy. But yet out of love he sent his Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear believer, rejoice in the love of God. Rejoice in his mercy and his grace. Because as we consider this morning regarding Christ, we're here because of Christ. We could add to that this evening. We're here because of the love and mercy and grace of God. Let us not forget that. Let us show love and mercy and grace in our lives. Let us show love and mercy and grace to those who are dead in their sins, as God showed to us. And so we see in this passage then, our subject for this evening, the greatness of God's love. The greatness of God's love. Perhaps we could go on and change that title to the great greatness of God's love, or the infinite greatness of God's love. Whatever way you want to take it, the greatness of God's love is a bit of an understatement. It should be greater. It should be expressed greater because of how great and infinite it actually is. But the greatness of God's love, and we see a number of things here that remind us of the greatness of this love. He loved a perishing world. He loved a perishing world. And this thought emphasizes to us the love of God for the world. This world was not a world filled with good individuals. It's not a world that loved God. It was not a world that worshipped God. It was not a world that sought to serve God in every way that God has directed us to serve him. This world is a world that, as we see here, was perishing. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And so the default position is we do not believe in Christ. Therefore, we are perishing. We are born in sin. Therefore, we are perishing. This world defies God and stands against God. Therefore, this world is perishing. We can think of a newborn baby coming into the world, looking around, crying, whatever the baby would do, taking its first breaths outside of the womb and seeing the world around, never really going to remember those moments. And there's new life. God has given new life. God has kept that life safe. And there has been a birth of new life. But immediately, there is perishing. And that baby will grow. But that baby will age and one day go to the grave. Spiritually speaking, that baby is perishing. Oh, young and cute, but perishing. Why? Because we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And this text tonight implies to us that we are all part of a perishing world. Lest we believe in Christ, we will perish. Lest this world turns from its sin and looks to Christ, it will perish because of its sin. And we see that sin. And we see that God has given this world over to sin. If you turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, the apostle makes great statements regarding the gospel of Christ. We mentioned last week, the just shall live by faith. The great truth Martin Luther clung to regarding the Reformation. Then Paul goes on, verse 18, to speak about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. He then speaks of them not knowing God, professing themselves to be wise, verse 22, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. We see the sin. Man seeking sin. Man born in sin and desiring sin and living in sin, and God giving him up. And this world is perishing because of that sin. It is given over to sin. That will one day be judged. And that sin will be judged based on this. Have you trusted Christ? Have you believed upon the only begotten Son of God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish? Doesn't matter that you're in church. Doesn't matter that your parents brought you to church. It doesn't matter that you've come to church your entire life, or who you are. What matters is this. Do you believe? Do you believe? I was born into a Christian home. I was a Free Presbyterian before I even knew what a Free Presbyterian was, because I went to the Free Presbyterian Church from a few days old. Didn't attend any other church in my life. Just the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and then moving over here, born into a Christian home, into a pastor's home. Went to church most Lord's days. The longest I was away from church was during COVID. Constantly attending and preaching and leading services and pastoring. All of those things, helping individuals, praying with individuals, advising individuals and counseling them, and seeing individuals profess faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But that doesn't get anyone to heaven. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Believing in Christ. Whether it's a heritage, whether it's the attending church, whether it's putting on a front, a godly front, or pretending to be a Christian, or acting like a Christian. There are many who have pretended to be of Christ and pretended to serve Christ, but yet they've walked away from the faith because they never had faith. They never had faith. And if there is not a belief in him, you will perish, because that is the default position of this world. We are born in sin, and God loved a perishing world. We see the wonder of that. How could a holy God love sinners like us? How could a holy God have mercy and grace toward us? If someone committed a great and heinous crime against you, how could you show them love? How could you show them love? We've committed crimes against God. We've rejected him and rebelled against him, but he showed love. Saul of Tarsus, we've mentioned before, we've mentioned earlier, he was saved on the road to Damascus, persecuted the church of Christ, would come in here and arrest us all and take us away and persecute us because we trust in Christ and we worship Christ. But yet he was saved and delivered because he believed on him. Oh, the wonder of that. The marvel of that. And dear believer, never stop marveling at God's grace. Never stop thanking the Lord for his grace and his mercy and his love in saving you and redeeming you.
The English Baptist pastor Charles Haddon Spurgeon brings us today to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and the verse 43. Thou shalt love thy neighbour. Love thy neighbour. Perhaps he rolls in riches, and thou art poor, and living in thy little cot side by side with his lordly mansion. Thou seest every day his estates, his fine linen, and his sumptuous banquets. God has given him these gifts. Covet not his wealth, and think no hard thoughts concerning him. Be content with thine own lot, If thou canst not better it, but do not look upon thy neighbour and wish that he were as thyself, love him, and then thou wilt not envy him. Perhaps on the other hand, thou art rich, and near thee reside the poor. Do not scorn to call them neighbour. Own that thou art bound to love them. The world calls them thy inferiors. And what are they inferior? They are far more thine equals than thine inferiors. For God hath made of one blood all people that dwell upon the face of the earth. It is thy coat which is better than theirs, but thou art by no means better than they. They are men, and what art thou more than that? Take heed that thou love thy neighbour, even though he be in rags or sunken in the depths of poverty. But perhaps you say, I cannot love my neighbours, because for all I do they return ingratitude and contempt. So much the more room for the heroism of love. Wouldest thou be a feather-bed warrior, instead of bearing the rough fight of love? He who dares the most shall win the most, and if rough be thy path of love, tread it boldly. Still loving thy neighbours through thick and thin, heap coals of fire on their heads, and if they be hard to please, seek not to please them, but to please thy master. And remember, if they spurn thy love, thy master hath not spurned it, and thy deed is as acceptable to him as if it had been acceptable to them. Love thy neighbour, for in doing so thou art following the footsteps of Christ. We thank you for listening to our programme today. This is Let the Bible Speak, and I'm Andrew Fitton. Do think on the Word of God today, and we trust that if you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, you would make sure of his salvation. You would know with all assurance that you have been saved and delivered from sin, that you are walking in newness of life. That is our desire. That is our prayer, that as the Word of God goes out, as it goes forth from this station, from this programme, that you would indeed consider your latter end and make sure of Christ's so great salvation. May the Lord bless you, and we look forward to joining you again here on Let the Bible Speak. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. I'm Andrew Fitton, and we want to thank you for joining with us today. If these programs have been a blessing and an encouragement to you, or if you need spiritual help, or desire to know more about the gospel, please contact us. Our phone number is 604-576-1091. Or you can always contact us by email, pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com. It is our desire that you would know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour and be built up in your faith. Let the Bible Speak is a ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of Cloverdale, located at the corner of 188 Street and 58 Avenue. Our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. Our Sunday services take place at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. We meet for Bible study and prayer on Wednesdays at 7:30 p.m. And we warmly invite you and your family to join us as we seek to preach Christ in all his fullness to sinners in all their need. Again, you can contact me at pastor.cloverdalefpc@gmail.com or by phone on 604-576-1091. We have a presence on Facebook, Cloverdale Free Presbyterian Church, and we're also responsible for the evangelistic page, Gospel Vancouver. Log on to Facebook, find us, check us out, and feel free to like, follow, and share. Again, our website is cloverdalefpc.ca. And it contains all the information for our church and radio ministry. And join us again Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for the preaching of God's precious word.